transcendental happiness by always staying in contact with the Supreme. Then the next verse begins something, begins the explanation of universal vision of Krishna. Sarva bhuta stam atmanam, sarva bhuta chatmani, and ikshate yoga yukta atma, sarvatma, sarvatma samadarshanam. So the sarvatma samadarshanam means that one sees Krishna everywhere equally. He's seeing equally the presence of Krishna everywhere. And he sees all living entities connected to Krishna. Therefore, he doesn't see, this is my enemy, this is my friend. He sees equally. All people are Krishna's eternal servant. Some have forgotten, some haven't. So he dedicates his life helping those who haven't, who have forgotten their relationship to Krishna, to understand Krishna and come back into the relationship. Iksate yoga yukta atma. He sees how everyone is dovetailed in Krishna consciousness, and he sees equally the presence of Krishna everywhere. And actually, sarva bhuta stam atmanam. He observes Krishna in all beings. Now, let's read the purport so we don't misunderstand what that means, seeing Krishna in all beings. That statement of Bhagavad Gita, sarva bhuta stam atmanam, is misinterpreted by the Mayavadis. Purport. The Krishna conscious yogi is the perfect seer because he sees Krishna, the Supreme, situated in everyone's heart as Supersoul, Paramatma. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hriday se rjuna tisthati. The Lord, in his Paramatma feature, is situated within both the heart of the dog and that of a Brahmana. The perfect yogi knows that the Lord is eternally transcendental and is not materially affected by his presence in either a dog or a Brahmana. That is the supreme neutrality of the Lord. The individual soul is also situated in the individual heart, but he is not present in all hearts. That is the distinction between the individual soul and the supersoul. One who is not factually in the practice of yoga cannot see so clearly. A Krishna-conscious person can see Krishna in the heart of both the believer and the non-believer. In the Smriti, or the scriptures that speak about Krishna, this is confirmed as follows. Atat-tat-vaj chamartrit-vat-vaj cha atma hi paramo hari. The Lord, being the source of all beings, is like the mother and the maintainer. As the mother is neutral to all different kinds of children, the Supreme Father or Mother is also. Consequently, the Supersoul is always in every living being. Outwardly also, every living being is situated in the energy of the Lord, as will be explained in the seventh chapter. The Lord has primarily two energies, the spiritual or superior and the material or inferior. The living entity, although part of the superior energy, is conditioned by the inferior energy, and the living entity is always in the Lord's energy. Every living entity is situated in him in one way or another. The yogi sees equally because he sees that all living entities, although in different situations, according to the results of fruitive work, in all circumstances remain the servants of God. While in the material energy, the living entity serves the material senses, and while in the spiritual energy, he serves the Supreme Lord directly. In either case, a living entity is the servant of God. This vision of equality is perfect in a person in Krishna consciousness. Just one thing. Okay, so there's a little difference here. I'll read this other point. There's a little difference in its purport from what I have. Okay, this says... No, it was 6:29, right? I'm going to read this. Okay, so in this purport it says, one who is not factually in the practice of yoga cannot see so clearly. Okay, that is a fact. Okay, from that point on it's different. A Krishna conscious person can see. Everyone's heart. Furthermore, there's no difference between the innumerable super souls present in the innumerable hearts of living entities. Nor is there a difference between a Krishna conscious person always engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna and a perfect yogi engaged in meditation on the super soul. The yogi in Krishna consciousness, even though he may be engaged in various activities while in material existence, remains always situated in Krishna. This is confirmed in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.187 of Srila Rupa Goswami, Nikhilas Vapyavastasu. It's completely different, right? Yeah. Jivan Mukta Savichite. A devotee of the Lord always acting in Krishna consciousness is automatically liberated. In the Narada Pancharatra, this is confirmed in this way. Dik Kalad Anavachine Krishna Cheto Vidaya Cha Tanmayo Bhavati Shripam Jivo Brahmani Yojayat. By concentrating one's attention on the transcendental form of Krishna, who is all pervading and beyond time and space, one becomes absorbed in thinking of Krishna and then attains the happy state of transcendental association with him. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Wait a minute. There's something I'm missing here. Let's see where that is. So that must have been. So that was verse 31. Okay. Still something missing. I know why. I don't have the book with me. Path of Perfection. Yeah, where is it? Can you get that book? Path of Perfection. There's an important point there that's not here. Yeah, that's why. I was reading in the Path of Perfection. So if we come back to this verse, text 27, Prashanta Manasam Hienam, the yogi whose mind is fixed on me rarely attains. And then, no, we go back to 6:29, Sarvabhutastam Atmanam. So there's a very important point that's made in this book. I Let's see. Yeah, here it is. It is moderation in. Is it moderation in yoga? No, wait a minute.
Moderation
in
yoga?
No, wait a minute. One second. This is the same book. Yeah, okay. Perception of the Supersoul. Okay. In this book, page 80, it says, a true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized man sees me everywhere. This is 629. Sarvabhutastam Atmanam. A true yogi observes me in all beings. How is this possible? Some people say that all beings are Krishna and that therefore there's no point in worshipping Krishna separately. Consequently, such people take to humanitarian activities, claiming that such work is better. They say, why should Krishna be worshipped? Krishna says that one should see Krishna in every being. Therefore, let us serve Daridya Narayana, the man in the street. Such misinterpreters do not know the proper techniques which have to be learned under a bona fide spiritual master. So this is very prevalent in India and even in the United States. This idea that, it's summarized like this. God is everything, but everything is not God. So, when it says, Sarvabhutastam Atmanam, a true yogi observes Krishna in all beings. What does that mean exactly? Does that mean every being is Krishna? No. That's why we say Krishna is everything, but everything is not Krishna. Krishna is present in all beings as Paramatma. And this is explained in the Bhagavad Gita 13th chapter, where it says, Chetra Gyam Chapimam Vidi Sarva Chetra Subharata Chetra Chetra Gayur Gyanam Yajtat Gyanam Matam Mama. O Arjuna, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. And to understand this body and its knower is called knowledge. That is my opinion. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, while discussing the subject of the body and the knower of the body, meaning the soul and the supersoul, in other words, there's two knowers in every body. There's our individual soul, we know this body. And there's Krishna, who's present not only in our heart, but in the heart of every living entity. So he's the knower of all bodies. That's the difference between the jiva and Paramatma. Jiva only knows his own particular body. Paramatma is present in the heart of every living entity. He knows all bodies. So, but in every body, there are two knowers. So Prabhupada says, while discussing the subject of the body and the knower of the body, the soul and the super soul, we shall find three different topics of study: the Lord, the living entity, and matter. In every field of activities, in every body, there are two souls, the individual soul and the super soul, Krishna. Because the super soul is the plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna says, I am also the knower, but I am not the individual knower of the body. I am the super knower. I am present in every body as Paramatma or super soul. So this is the fundamental confusion of the impersonalists or Mayavadis. They think there's only one knower. And they think they are that knower. They think that because Krishna says that a true yogi sees every being, a true yogi observes me in all beings, that everyone is actually Krishna. You see, you understand the confusion that's there. But no, Krishna is in everybody, present as super soul. And he also says, Ishvara Parama. He says, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridaye Seder Juna Tistati. He says in the 18th chapter, 69th or 70th verse, he says that Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam, I am the Lord of all living entities, and I'm situated in the heart of every living entity. So this question came up once with Prabhupada, and one devotee said, well, but there are living entities that don't have a heart, such as worms and microbes. They don't have a heart and circulatory system. And Prabhupada said, that's not true. He said, well, but the scientists say. So who do you believe, the scientists or Krishna? He said, Krishna says, I'm in the heart of every living entity. That means there's a heart there. You might not be able to see it because you're a nonsense, and your scientists are nonsense, but every living entity has a heart, and Krishna's in the heart of the living entity, even if it's a microscopic living entity. See? But the devotee insisted, but there's no circulatory system. He said, you don't see it. Your eyes are imperfect. The scientist's eyes are imperfect. But if Krishna says he's in the heart of every living entity has a heart. Yeah. And he says this 18th chapter, and he says it in several places, but 18th chapter, 61st verse, the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, or Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of material energy. He also says in 15th chapter, 15th verse, Sarvasichayam Hridisani Visto, I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So that's completely clear. Therefore, Prabhupada, when the devotee challenged Prabhupada, Prabhupada just threw it back in his face. He said, you don't see so many things. How do you know? Who is the authority? You or Krishna? The scientists or Krishna? See, they're all engaged in imperfect seeing. Okay, so, but people say, oh, you don't have to worship Krishna. Just serve humanity. Manava seva is madhava seva. You serve humanity, that's serving God. But it's not true. Madhava seva is manava seva. When you serve God, then you actually serve humanity. You serve humanity, yeah, you're going to serve them, you know, beef jerky? Is that serving God? You give beef jerky to somebody, and he says, oh, thank you, brother, thank you, you know, and he's eating it, you know. Would that serve God? That's nonsense. But when you serve Krishna, then you offer prasadam. That's been sanctified by Krishna. That's serving humanity. Okay. A true yogi, as explained before, is the devotee of Krishna, and the most advanced devotee goes forth to preach Krishna consciousness. So someone who's seen Krishna in the heart of every living entity, he becomes a preacher. He knows that that person, even if they're evil, they're actually not originally evil. That's an artificial state. Just like ice is not the natural state of water. It's an artificial state. You know, water can go into that state, but in normal conditions, it's not like that. It's liquid. So in the same way, people who are evil, that's not their natural state. It's an artificial state. But if they take the treatment, just like if you heat up the ice, it becomes water. That's its natural state. If they take the proper treatment, they come back to their original state, which is the eternal servant of Krishna. It's called constitutional position. The Constitution of the United States guarantees you certain rights, right? Freedom of speech, so forth. The constitutional position of living entity is to be the eternal servant of Krishna. That's his natural position. It's not to be the competitor of Krishna and try and usurp the material world and rape it for one's personal sense gratification. That's not the natural position. So when a person becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness, then they realize my imperative in life is to preach this Krishna consciousness to help other people. And you preach in different ways, not necessarily in words always, in deeds, right? Why? Because he sees Krishna in all beings. That's why. He actually sees the presence of God in the heart of every living entity, whether it's the ant or the dog or the fly or whatever. How is this? Because he sees that all beings are part and parcel of Krishna. Yeah. Mamayavamsa jivaloka jivabhuta sanatana. 15:7. Krishna says that all living entities are my separated parts and parcels. Why separated? Because they decided to separate themselves from Krishna by competing with him, trying to be the controller and owner of material nature. When you try and do that, you give up devotional service. By trying to be the controller of material nature, you give up devotional service. And when you begin to control and own something, you become strongly attached. And it's almost impossible to break those attachments. So 15.7 says, the living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. So when the mind is not directed toward Krishna or fixed on Krishna, one begins to struggle in this world. One gets in fights with people, one has dualities, one is frustrated in the search for sense gratification, and one develops feelings of, oh, I like this person, I hate that person, you know. These are all the things. Because one doesn't have the mind fixed on Krishna, then they become attacked by duality, and they're struggling because of the conditioning of the three modes of material nature. See? So it says, due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses. So in the purport, Prabhupada says a few things. He says, it is stated here that when a living entity gives up his material embodiment and enters into the spiritual world, he revives his spiritual body. And in the spiritual body, he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Face to face. He can hear and speak to him face to face. And he can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is. From Smriti, or from the scriptures that speak about Krishna, also.
There are people here now that can do that.
Well,
that's
not part of.
It's not part of the stuff.
Yes. Okay. From Smriti, also, it is understood. Vasanti yatra purusha sarve vaikunta murtaya. In the spiritual planets, everyone lives in bodies featured like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As far as bodily construction is concerned, there's no difference between the part and parcel living entities and the expansions of Vishnumurti or Krishna. In other words, at liberation, the living entity gets a spiritual body by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that body looks very similar to Krishna. If one is on the Vaikuntha planets, they have a four-armed body like Lord Vishnu, and they look almost exactly like the Lord. If they're in the Goloka planets, they have bodies that look very similar to Krishna's two-armed form. See? So when you see the Goloka pastimes, you'll see that the Gopas look very similar to Krishna. It's hard to see a difference. Yeah. There, I mean, when you know, you see a difference. So the other thing is that the reason people make all these mistakes, they accept an ordinary person as Krishna, is because they don't know who Krishna is. Like, for example, when Krishna appeared to Vasudeva and Devaki, he had four arms. He had all the signs of Vishnu. He was brilliant. He had a beautiful golden yellowish type of clothing. He had Kostuba jewel. He had the Srivatsa hair. He had peacock feather. He had four arms. In the four arms, he had Sankagada Padma chakra. The four opulences. That's the way he appeared when he appeared at first. And then by request of Devaki, he transformed into his original form of, two-armed form. And in the two-armed form, he has certain things in his body that differentiate him from ordinary living beings. For example, he has specific things on the bottom of his feet, marks. Those are the signs that this is God and not just an ordinary person. So if anyone tells you that he's Krishna, look at the bottom of his feet. And if it looks like the bottom of your feet, you know he's an imposter. There are pictures that depict the symbols on the bottom of Krishna's feet. Whenever Krishna walked in Vrindavan, they would see his footprints and those symbols in the sand. Because he would mark it with the symbols that are on the bottom of his feet. And he had other things that are specific to him. Nobody else has anything like that. So, therefore, we cannot accept anyone as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are people that are powerful. The devas are very powerful. But they're nothing compared to Krishna. And they don't have the same physical attributes that Krishna has. When you study the subject more thoroughly, then you will understand the difference between Krishna and other living entities. Even if they're very powerful living entities, they don't even come close to Krishna.
God is in detail.
Huh?
The God is in detail.
Yes. Yes. So, why? Because Krishna is unique. There's no one equal to him or greater than him. There's no one like him. The only person that's almost exactly like him is Balaram, but that's his direct expansion. The only difference between Balaram and Krishna, Krishna is bluish-black, Balaram is white. That's all. Everything else is the same. Yeah. Okay, so then, thus the devotee sees Krishna in everything. He is not under the illusion that everything has become Krishna. Rather, he sees every living being as the son of God. If I say that this boy is the son of Mr. Johnson, do I mean that this boy is Mr. Johnson himself? I may see Mr. Johnson in this boy because the boy is his son, but the distinction remains. If I see every living being as the son of Krishna, I see Krishna in every being. This should not be difficult to understand. It is neither an association nor a vision, but a fact. When a devotee sees a cat or a dog, he sees Krishna in him. He knows that a cat, for instance, is a living being, and that due to his past deeds, he has received the body of a cat. This is due to his forgetfulness. The devotee helps the cat by giving it some Krishna prasada, so that someday the cat will come to Krishna consciousness. This is seeing Krishna in the cat. The devotee does not think, oh, here is Krishna, let me embrace this cat and serve this cat as God. So that's why we say, Krishna is everything, but everything is not Krishna. Everything is made of Krishna's energies, right? His apara prakriti, his inferior spiritual energy, which is earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. And he also sees the para prakriti, the jiva, the individual living entity, that his soul is coming from Krishna. And Krishna is also present in the heart of the jiva as Paramatma, Krishna's personal expansion. So the devotee sees Krishna in everyone and in everything. If, let's say it's just a carpet, but he sees this carpet is made of Krishna's apara prakriti, inferior spiritual energy. So when you're sitting on the carpet, you're actually sitting on Krishna, right? Just like when the sun is shining, the sun is with you, even though it's very far away, by the expansion of its energy. So this carpet is an expansion of Krishna's apara prakriti. So the devotee sees like that. When he sees a living entity, he sees that the body of the living entity is made of the apara prakriti, and the soul of the living entity is para prakriti, superior spiritual energy. But again, there's a difference between the individual soul and the super soul or Krishna. So there's all these differentiations because parasya shakti vividaiva shriyate. The Lord has infinite energies. When a devotee sees a cat or a dog, he sees Krishna in him. He knows that the cat, for instance, is a living being and that due to his past deeds, he has received the body of a cat. This is due to his forgetfulness. The devotee helps the cat by giving it some Krishna prasada so that someday the cat will come to Krishna consciousness. This is seeing Krishna in a cat. The devotee does not think, oh, here is Krishna, let me embrace this cat and serve this cat as God. Such thinking is nonsensical. If one sees a tiger, he does not say, oh, here is Krishna, come on, please eat me. The devotee does not embrace all beings as Krishna, but rather sympathizes with every living being because he sees all beings as part and parcel of Krishna. In this way, the true yogi observes me in all beings. This is real vision. Okay, so I think we'll stop right here. It's a very nice explanation by Prabhupada. Atmanam. A true yogi sees Krishna in everything. A true yogi sees Krishna in all beings. Haribo. So now, today we learn, if you think someone is God, look at the soles of their feet.
What if the infinite energies are veiling it?
No. Krishna is a specific person. He has specific qualities. So now we know the test. That doesn't mean that person is bad. They might be very nice. They might be very powerful also. But they're no match for Krishna. It's because we don't know enough about Krishna. We'll accept someone who's not Krishna as Krishna.
What if? Krishna.
Whenever you start a statement with what if, it's called a speculation.
Well, Krishna is all infinite. Infinitely potent and infinitely powerful.
No, that's all true. Yeah.
He could come here and only reveal to you.
What if, imagine that, suppose that it would be very nice if, you know, it's all speculation, Prabhu. This is not speculation. This is fact. Look at the soles of his feet.
There was a thought.
Or her feet. And you'll see.
The big eye caused the little eye to witness a thought today. And it was, Gurudev, you came in the 1500s. There are these devotees. You came 5,000 years ago. There were those devotees. Now you are here again. Making, we are either with you again, or some of us are new. What about the lineage that you started 500, 600 years ago? Where are they in there? Are you going to bring them along too? Or are you just going to keep them in the separate?